Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
All right, hello everybody. We're back for another episode of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. Today I have Dr. Ashish Kakadia. Am I saying that right?
Yes, you did.
Dr. Ashish Kakadia from Atlanta, Georgia, with us.
Yeah.
Ashish, what's going on, my friend?
Not much. Just having fun at your place. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely.
You paid me to be here, you know, so I appreciate it. The least I could do is have you over. So Ashish, I don't think we've had anybody that's a foreign graduate on the program before.
You did.
Who?
Dhaval Patel.
Oh, Dhaval. He doesn't count, man. He didn't have to go back to school here. So he had to, I think he did the boards and everything instead.
So I did not know
you'll
that.
You'll be the first person that has had to go back to school.
Lucky
I think
me.
Sometimes many of us, we complain about our dental school experience, our loans and everything. So talk to us. So what's your story? What's your background?
So I was born and raised in India, and I finished my dental school back in India in 2001 in a city called Ahmedabad in Gujarat. After the dental school in India, you have to do 1 year of internship. So I finished that in 2002 after I graduated. And then I did an associateship until 2003, June. And I landed in the United States on June 2nd.
Was your intention to always come here?
No, it was not. Actually, my parents migrated here in 2002 before me.
Okay.
And they moved back within a year. Because
back to India.
Back to India because my dad was already at the retirement age at that time. And both of his kids were there, me and my brother.
Okay.
And he couldn't adjust to the culture
the
and then by himself with right. my mom. So we decided to move him back, and he moved back at the time. And I was looking for a private practice space
in India.
In India, in 2003 December around that area, because I did an associateship, and it was just not working out, and. I decided to start my own practice like my other friends did, my roommates did. And by the time I finished that process, I was introduced to my wife at the time, and then her family was in North Carolina.
But your wife was in India?
No, she was in North Carolina.
Okay.
In Cary.
Okay.
And she was doing her computer science in NC State at the time.
Okay.
But she was born and raised in the same hometown that I'm from.
In India.
In India. And then my dad and her friends were knew each other, so they introduced each other at the time.
So would you call it an arranged marriage?
It's an arranged marriage. Okay. But we
like
certainly have a time. We certainly have an option to say yes or no.
Right.
And
it's not just an introduction. It's like Match.com.
Right.
Just parents.com.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So obviously I had no reason to say no because she's educated. She's good looking than me. And
well, that's not hard to do.
And for me, it was just her yes or no.
Right.
And she said yes to me. Yeah. And we decided to get engaged.
So that's why you came here.
And then I came here on...
You had to. Either
yes.
That or she was coming there and she wasn't coming there.
She was coming there.
Okay.
So I came here and landed in the United States on June 2nd, 2004.
Okay.
In Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're here in Raleigh in 2004.
Right.
You didn't necessarily intend to get here.
No.
But circumstances brought you here.
Right.
So what was your plan when you got here?
So the plan was obviously to get my dental license.
Okay.
I did some research when I was in India, and I took a TOEFL exam.
Okay.
So you have to take...
TOEFL is Test of English as Foreign Language.
Proficiency language if your primary language is not English, and you can take that in anywhere in the world. So I took it in India. You couldn't take your National Dental Board exams in any foreign countries. You have to take it,
in the U.S.
So I prepared for it because I had a lot of friends who came here. Actually, matter of fact, out of 40 graduates in my final year of dental school in India, 20 of them are in the United States.
Oh, wow.
So I had a little help in what goes into those exams, and I prepared for it a little bit, not much. I came here, and then I didn't do well in TOEFL in India, so I didn't have the score that I needed to apply in a dental school, so I retook it again.
When you got here?
When I got here, I didn't do well again.
Okay.
And then...
How much time is there between the tests?
So you can take that test anytime you want.
Every day?
Every day.
Okay.
If you want to. It's just the money that you have to pay for it.
Okay.
And I didn't have the money for pay for it at the time. I decided not to take the TOEFL again after unless I cleared my National Dental Board Part 1 and Part 2.
You can take that without doing TOEFL?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
As long as you have a foreign dental degree, you can apply and you can take those tests. Okay. So I did
that. So you didn't need TOEFL to go to dental school?
You do need it.
Okay.
You don't need it to take your National Dental Board exam. So
gotcha.
I took my National Dental Board Part 1. I didn't do well.
Mm.
So I took a Kaplan class.
Okay.
In Chapel Hill, North Carolina, because Kaplan was there in Chapel Hill, and they would give you the video cassettes and things like that, and I would go to those. Anyway, so I did those classes, and I did well. I did well. I scored above their requirements, and then one day, Bhavna's husband Tushar.
Mm-hmm.
I was with him at the temple, and he was not explaining me, but he was explaining other students that if you want to improve your English, listen to NPR. Start on radio in a car, listen to it. Within the next few months, you will see that you're listening better, and then you're doing better in your English. But it wasn't for my exam. It was just for to make
better.
Me better in my communication. I wasn't speaking English at the time when I...
But English, dental school in India is in English.
It was. Everything is in English, but you don't speak to your patient in English.
You don't practice.
You don't practice. So I knew what is vein and artery, but I can't communicate that with my patient because I wasn't speaking English.
Okay.
And I did my education in the native language in Gujarati.
But how did you pass the boards then?
Because it was in English.
English.
I did my dental school in English,
English. Okay.
So that wasn't hard.
So it wasn't the reading or anything that was hard?
It was just listening part.
Okay. It was
I couldn't comprehend. Yes.
Because we talk so fast.
Right.
Yeah, we think you guys talk fast, by the way.
But and when you're not from United States, it's hard.
Yeah.
It just takes
did
time.
Did you feel it was unfair that you're going through this?
The only part that I feel unfair was the money part that I have to do for my dental school. But other than that, I can tell you that let's say if they tell me that, okay, you do a dental school for free here in United States, but you just do it because I want you to do it.
Right.
I think we were not taught the way we were supposed to taught in India.
In India.
Then here, I hated dentistry.
In India.
I did not want to practice
dentistry. Dentistry is very different, I think.
But even at the time, I mean, you have to enjoy what you do, right?
Right.
All we learned was extractions and dentures. Right. They didn't even teach us how to do a crown or a damn root canal in dental school.
No, you weren't saving teeth. You were just taking out teeth.
Yeah, no, but the problem is those professors and the instructors, they have their private practice in the same hometown that we have our dental school in. So they would intentionally not teach you how to do those things properly, because they would feel that once those kids goes out, they're going to compete with their private practice and then tap into their money. So anyways, that's just how I feel,
right.
And I hated it. My dad told me not to go to dental school.
Why did you go back to dental school when you got here? Why didn't you consider doing something different?
That was my only option at the time.
Okay.
And then,
come on, you could have done what other Indians do, buy grocery store, gas station.
Right. So my
hotel.
So my father-in-law, he's a businessman. He owned a gas station at the time.
Right.
In Raleigh downtown. Yes, I could have gone to that direction, but it was my decision to go to dental school when my dad opposed. In India.
In India.
He wanted me to go to IT. And I said, no, I'm not going into IT. I'm going into dental school. And he told me I'm wrong. But I still decided to go to dental school. And I hated it.
Right.
So then when I came here, I just decided that I'm going to stick with it. And I'm going to go with it. No matter what.
So you had to go back through the entire dental school?
No. So then I took my TOEFL, I took my National Dental Board, and then one day after I'm here for a year, I decided I'm going to take a TOEFL, so I just registered myself, and I came on Six Forks Road, Raleigh, North Carolina, on the Prometric Center, took my TOEFL, and I scored above whatever I was required to score.
Good. So now you have your requirements.
So at least I have fulfilled my requirement to apply, and then I applied into dental schools in several schools throughout the United States. And then I got interviewed at USC in Southern California. I got interviewed at UPenn.
Okay.
And then I got interviewed at UNC Chapel Hill. But on a residency side, because they don't have international program for regular DDS students.
And what is the international program typically? 2 years, 3 years?
So it depends on where you get into.
Okay.
I don't know what is the condition right now, but at the time when I was applying, it was 2 years or it's 3 years. So if you, let's say, for example, if you go to NYU,
it's 3 years.
If you go to UPenn, it's 2 years. If you go to UCLA, USC, Pacific Dental, and Loma Linda. Besides Loma Linda, it was 2 years. Loma Linda had 3 years.
Okay.
It just depends on the school.
So even though you're already a dentist, even though you passed national boards, you have to go back to school for 2 or 3 years.
You have to have a DDS or a DMD in order to apply for a license in any state in the United States.
Okay.
So I didn't have
that. So where'd you go?
So I was only accepted in the University of Illinois in Chicago.
UIC.
My director asked me the question. I want to mention this.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose UIC? That was his first question in my interview.
Did you tell him the truth?
So I was diplomatic. So I said, no, you want to be diverse and you want to give an opportunity to all the international kids to practice in the United States. And he said, no, I just need money. So he was flat on my face that I just need money, because state is not giving us the money to survive. And in Chicago at the time, two of the dental schools closed down, Loyola and Northwestern.
Right.
So UIC was the only one dental school, and then that Southern Illinois University survived at the time because they were getting money from the state.
Okay.
So luckily I got accepted into UIC, but while I was going through the process, I started working on a gas station on Harrison Avenue.
In Cary, in
Kroger gas station on a night shift, 5 days a week.
Okay.
Because my father-in-law said, you got to know the system,
right.
So you got to work. So he found me a job, and I started working as a cashier in a pantry gas station in the night shifts, 5 days a week. Did that for a month, and I got tired of it. I said, I need to do something. So there is
a... But you were already into dental school at this point.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, so you didn't know.
I didn't know, but at least after I took my exams, all the exams, I was just waiting for the interview process to finish. And then he wanted me to work, so I started working. And then after a month, I said, I need to do something. So there is a local newspaper, News and Observers, that gets delivered into all the gas stations at 3 a.m. every morning. And that gets delivered in my gas station where I'm working. And then at the time, all the dentists were advertising in those in those classifieds. So I started looking those classifieds and started, I made my resume for a dental assistant because I researched and I figured out I could work as a dental assistant in North Carolina, but couldn't work as a hygienist.
Right.
So I started faxing things, and then one of the prominent dentists, she was a part of, probably at the time, of the state board in Raleigh, asked me to do a working interview for her. So I went there, and then she basically had me for a working interview for 2 days, and then never no call, no nothing. So I knew that I wasn't good enough, and then I was back to square one at the time, because I just didn't knew anything. I couldn't even know how to communicate at the time.
Right.
So then I started faxing it again, and then one of the staffing agency lady, she was the only one person lady business. She was doing staffing, I guess, locum agency, yeah. Yes, recruitment. And then she sent me to an office in Cary, and I went to in this clothes. For assisting. I didn't know what scrub was at the time. So I went there, and then the dentist was supposed to do a crown procedure. I don't know what the bite registration is. I was supposed to take a bite impression before he starts the crown, and I didn't know I was supposed to take a...
And he's like, you're a dentist.
Yeah, and he was expecting me to know anything without knowing me. So... he let me go in 2 hours.
Wow, 2 hours in, he told
2 hours. Yeah, he's like, okay, we will call you if you need you. He was okay with it, but he threw my impression in the trash in front of me, so I remember that.
So you know it wasn't good.
Yeah. But
you still wanted to be a dentist after all of this.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
I didn't have option.
Okay.
I just didn't have option. I didn't have money. I didn't have nothing. So then I told my staffing agency that, you know what, let me first maybe do a shadowing in some offices. Let me see how the assisting works. And maybe then I'll go anywhere, because I think if I go somewhere else, it's not going to work out.
Right. How was dental school for you?
Dental school was amazing from day one. Loved it. Because of the technology that we had in the school, instructors that I had in the school, and I loved it. I don't know what changed. I can't tell you what changed, but I loved it from day one.
How different was dental school here than India?
360 degrees.
Completely different.
100%.
It's dentistry's dentistry.
I love you.
But if you want to do dentistry to get the reward that you want to get the reward by doing good work, you can't do that by learning what I learned in India. You can't. It's just not there. Technology is not there.
So was your education in India essentially useless?
I wouldn't say useless. Theory-wise, it was okay.
Okay.
Would I have been... Can I or could I apply that into my practical life? I couldn't. No. Because first, patient mentality wasn't there. Everything was elective dentistry. So patient would come to you when they have pain.
Pain, okay.
They wouldn't come to you for your 6 months cleaning.
Okay.
They wouldn't come to you because they haven't been to a dentist for 5 years. They would come if they have a pain. And by that time, either you're doing extractions, or if the patient is good enough to understand or educated to know enough, they'll do root canal. Mm. But I wasn't able to do root canal because I wasn't taught.
Okay.
So those are the hurdles that we faced in India, and it still exists, unfortunately. I have my friends who are instructors in the same dental school that we went into India, and they're doing the same crappy thing that my instructor did. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to change it. But that's what the difference was. I wasn't enjoying my work, and I did enjoy it from the day one when I came here.
All right, so now let's talk about practice. You got out of dental school.
Yes.
You went for 3 years?
I went for 2 years.
2 years to UIC.
Yep, we took
you
two.
You loved it, enjoyed it, got a good clinical education.
100%.
You felt much better.
Yes.
You loved what you did then?
Yes. I loved what I did. I was offered a spot into endo residency at UIC, but during that same year, they converted that residency into a paid residency from the stipend-based residency, and they extended that residency from 2 years to 3 years.
Okay.
Because state wasn't giving them
money.
And
how did you pay for dental school?
I took out the FAFSA loan.
How much loan did you end up with?
So the tuition fee was 80 grand a year.
80 grand a year.
So I took out 160 grand a year. But luckily my wife was working. She got a job at IBM. So I wasn't borrowing money for my living expense.
Okay, so just for school.
So just for school. And we ended up having 140 grand worth of debt in the student loan.
Okay.
And I didn't have to get any grad plus or anything like that. Just FAFSA.
Let me ask you this. Let's back up for a second. Foreign graduate.
Yeah.
Struggled.
Yeah.
Hardship,
mm-hmm.
loans.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't ever think, did you feel prepared to be a dentist?
I never did until 2013. Let's just put it that way.
So you graduated in 2008?
Eight.
So 5 years.
Yeah.
So you were working for those 5 years.
I was, but I felt I wasn't good enough to make it.
Why?
So
were you told that? Did you feel that?
No, I didn't. I wasn't been told that, but I started my private practice in a year after I started working as an associate in 2010.
Okay. Your own private practice?
My own private practice.
From scratch?
From scratch. Because I got a job.
You built it?
I built it by myself.
You didn't find an existing space?
So after I started working as an associate, I walked away from that practice or from that group practice one day because it was just too much. A lot of pressure and producing. It was like a corporate or even worse than corporate. And I talked to my wife and I said, wherever I go, if I work as an employee, I can't survive because I have to do whatever my employer tells me to do. And I'm not okay with it. And I want to do my own practice. And she supported me. So I had a consultant approach me in 2009. And she wanted to do her own practice with her husband,
mm-hmm.
who was a dentist, and hired me as an associate. And she said, when everything gets materialized, I'll call you. And she never did. So I called her. In 2009, when I decided to do my own practice, and I said, Dinah, I want to do my own practice. You want to be my consultant? And she said, yes, let's do it. So she found me a space in East Cobb. So it's in Marietta, Georgia.
A very busy place, by the way. Lots of dentists.
Yes. I mean, it was, and I didn't know anything about any business side of this thing. I was just going there with the mindset that I want to own my own practice. And she found me a space. We rented a space, which was a build-out space.
Okay, good.
The other dentist was there for 10 years ago. For 10 years, she moved out and bought her own building. So all we did is put new paint, a carpet, and an equipment to Patterson. And we started from scratch. by the end of first year, I was in tears because it wasn't making money. We collected 130 grand a year.
For the year?
Yes.
Wow.
And
Making money. You might have been losing money.
I was losing money. I was in tears. I called my father-in-law and I said, I need more money or I won't survive because I don't have money to run a payroll.
That was hard, wasn't it?
It was hard.
You hadn't asked him for any money up to this point before.
I didn't. He gladly said, okay, I'll give you the money. Let's just keep going. Because the worst thing is you're going to go down and it is what it is. He gave me 10 grand to survive. Yeah, so that at least I can run a payroll. And I let the consultant go because that was the main cost for the office. And I cannot explain you what happened, what changed, but we made it. And the second and the third year, second year we almost break even. We lost some money, but not much.
You saw the light. You were starting
I did. I'd see some light. I was frustrated. I was working 3 days as a locum or temporary dentist in other practices to keep the house going, and 2 days in my private practice to keep that going. We did that for 2 years after the first year, and then suddenly things changed.
What caused it to change, you think?
Marketing. I didn't know anything about marketing before. Right. But the one thing I did was I kept sending flyers. 2,000 flyers every month. 2,000 flyers every month. I didn't know anything about online marketing. I didn't know anything about Google. I didn't know anything about Google Review.
Come on, we're Indian. How do we not know about these things?
I was naive. I just didn't know anything about business aspect. I wasn't able to take the CE that I had to do to learn all this. I was just doing it on my own, Indian way. So the Indian way is to save money and produce more.
Right.
And that's what I did.
So tell me, okay, so now we're barely surviving.
Yeah.
We're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
How do you go from all of that to suddenly having a high-tech office?
So I was introduced to Cirac by one of my Patterson rep.
Mm-hmm, of course.
He said, okay, let's just go to this course in Charlotte.
Okay, for the Accept.
For the Accept.
Were you practicing doing okay at this time?
I was practicing okay. I was still working as a locum for 2 days a week and 3 days in my practice. And then I went there to Charlotte. I met Samir.
Right.
I milled a couple Emacs crown. I dropped one and it broke in half.
it was probably purple.
On the floor. It wasn't purple. It was baked crown it broke. And I said, Samir, I'm not doing this in posterior crowns. You do me a zirconia crown or you get me a system of a zirconia crown. In the Cirac side, I'll buy your system. Otherwise, I'm not buying a system just on the Emacs. So I told that, I still remember that, in Charlotte facility, Samir was there, and he said, I'll let you know. I said, okay. So I went back. I was 500% against Cirac at the time.
Right.
I wasn't buying it. I just couldn't buy it.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and then Emacs in the first and the second molars, I just couldn't see it surviving too long.
You know you're wrong, but that's okay.
I'm wrong maybe at the time, and maybe I didn't know at the time, but it was just a lot of fractures on my existing patient that I saw.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know, it's a whatever that is, but I just couldn't get convinced at the time. And then they rolled out Speedfire in Chicago Midwinter Meeting, and I bought my machine next day.
Okay, wow.
The Speedfire and the MCXL and then Conebeam. The Conebeam I bought.
At the same time,
250 grand. And the reason why I bought.
Did your father-in-law think you're crazy?
He still thinks I'm crazy. But I think that I need that in order to at least do the work that I wanted to do and the way I wanted to do. It's just my personal belief that every practitioner who is placing implant have to have a Conebeam in their office. If they're not having a Conebeam, they're not serving their patient good.
Right, I agree with that.
And people have fought with me in Atlanta, Georgia, and prosthetic artists have fought me, orthodontic surgeon has fought me on that belief, and it's fine, but that's just my thing. And the reason why I bought ConBeam is that I started doing implants, mm-hmm. and I did free-handed implants in my father-in-law's mouth. He forced me, you gotta do an implant. And I said, I don't know. I don't know how to do an implant. And he said, I'm missing a tooth.
Try me.
I want you to learn it. And then I want you to do an implant in my mouth. And he volunteered. And I free-handed a number 19 implant in his mouth.
Number 9?
Number 19.
Oh, God. I was like, number 9. Oh,
no,
my God.
No, number 19. I at least knew that I had to do posterior mandibular implants at the time.
There's only a thing called a nerve there.
Right. I didn't take cone beam. I didn't do anything. I just took a PA and a Peno, and I jammed that thing in. It's still in there after 8 years.
Wow.
I did another free-handed implants in one of my existing patients. I gave away those two implants for free because she volunteered for me to do an implant, and it's still in there in her mouth. But it freaked me out to my core.
That's hard. There's a lot of things that can go wrong.
Yes, and it freaked me out. My hand was shaking, and I literally torqued those things out like I'm tightening up those screw nuts in my car wheels.
Yeah.
And that's how I did it, and I decided I'm not going to do it that way. It's just not right. happening. So started using a local company called 360 Imaging right. in Atlanta.
Do imaging for you?
Right, so they did an imaging. They also sold me a software. Mm-hmm. I bought a software. A DPS, mm-hmm. $5,000, and then they design surgical guides for me
right.
for my Astra, because luckily Astra implant rep walked in my office first.
Right.
So I stuck with Astra at the time, and then I just did Astra since then. It wasn't my choice. He just walked in first in my office.
Luck of the draw.
So I did those implants, 15 of them. With 360 imaging, so I would send my patients,
right.
and then they would pay them for the scan. They would send me the surgical guide, and I do guided. I bought the whole kit.
And you thought guided was awesome.
And guided took my fear away.
Right.
Even if I screw up, I knew that I did whatever I could for my patient mm-hmm. to do this right. That even the specialist wasn't doing.
Right.
So I was at peace that no, this cannot go wrong, at least. For my personal side,
right.
if it goes wrong on my patient's side, I'll do everything I can. I'll pay oral surgeon to fix my issues, and it would be okay. But I'm not going to let this
with
thing.
With the guidance stuff, these issues don't exist.
It hasn't happened yet. But again, you never know. I mean, your guide is off, your scan is off, and then your guide is not positioned right. What if it rocks or things like that?
So you had experience with guided surgery, third-party service.
Yes.
And then you said, why am I paying these guys?
$700.
So I might as well, at this point,
buy a Conbeam.
Buy it to yourself.
Yes. So I researched, and the only company that existed at the time for me to do an extra guided mm-hmm. implant was CEREC and a Conbeam. So I could wheel my CEREC guide too
right.
in office. And I didn't think twice. Because even if I do two implants a month, my cone beam is paid for.
Easy.
So we bought it next day, and then.
So I want to think about this. Foreign graduate.
Yeah.
Struggled.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a job. Mm-hmm. Didn't like where you worked.
Mm-hmm.
Started a practice from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Almost failed.
Mm-hmm.
Had to borrow money from your father-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
A different type of dentistry than what you learned.
Yeah.
And here you are buying $250,000 in technology.
Yeah.
Going into more debt.
Yeah.
And you're succeeding with it.
Yes, it's been fun. It took all the stress away. I tell this to all of my friends who I talk to every day. And I tell to anyone that I meet that I love coming to my office every morning. That I didn't enjoy 5 years in my private practice when I was doing an impression-based crown and bridges and implants. And that's the biggest thing for me. I don't have any stress. If I screw up in my crown, I know my mistakes right there. I fix it. And I remill my crown.
So you're doing all zirconia?
All zirconia is on first and second molars.
You're happy with it?
I have done 1,000 zirconia in the last 2 years.
How's your practice doing?
Practice is doing good.
Good or great?
Practice is doing good. I would say good. This is the first year I had to write a big check to Uncle Sam that I'm not happy about. No, just kidding.
That's Indian in us, man. Are you kidding?
No, but we collected 940 grand
good
last year.
You're going to hit a million this year then.
And we're hiring an associate in June.
Good for you.
Let's see if I can do an SOI.
Treat them better than you were treated.
Well, I want to do SOI than ROI.
Yeah, this is my new one, right?
Yeah.
Forget the ROI. It's all about the SOI, sleep, ortho, and implants.
Yeah.
Do you think these hardships that you went through made you today?
This hardship made me appreciate where I've been here. Or where am I today, that what it took for me to get here and whatever I have is I'm not going to take it for granted. I'm going to pass this on to my cousin who is joining my practice, and I'm going to help my patient with it so that they get the best treatment and I get my satisfaction that no, I did something right for them.
What's next for you?
I don't know. I haven't thought, but my first step is to hire or to have some help in my office, and then me doing those specialized
procedures.
The goal is to have a good high-end practice, which is more patient, I guess, patient-oriented than a money-oriented. And in that way, I can sleep at night at my bed that no, I did something right for them, but at the same time, I can provide to my family and to my kids to do the best they could with my life. So that's the goal.
I'm proud of you, Ashish.
Thank you.
I think oftentimes, and I'm guilty of this sometimes, is that we look at foreign graduates differently. That we forget the hardships that they've gone through. You know, my father went through this. You know, he's a dentist from India, and that to me is what makes this country so great.
Yes.
You know, as much as people complain about it, this is an unbelievable place.
Yes.
You know, anybody from anything can come and do something. And if you have belief, and if you have fight in you, and you're willing to stick it, it's amazing what you can do.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's amazing what you can do, right?
Yes.
And that's unbelievable. You're an inspiration for us. Inspiration. Thank you. So an unbelievable interview with Ashish.
Yeah.
So anybody who's feeling tough and having it hard, you don't know what hard is yet.
It's not hard. It's not hard.
Sticking to your belief.
Yeah. You don't know hardship is.
And you can do unbelievable things.
You can. You can. Yeah, I tell all of my friends that the only country that I can survive is United States in the whole world.
Yeah.
If I don't have a choice, I'll move back to India. I can't survive anywhere else.
This place is amazing.
It is amazing. It is amazing.
I tell everybody, they say, well, it's so this. I say, look, man, my parents made it. Your family made it.
Yep.
And they made it doing the opposite.
Yes.
If you didn't become a dentist, you would have made it doing something else because you're willing to work hard.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. Listen, business is simple.
Yeah.
Business is about taking care of people, understanding what your customer wants, and delivering it to them. Yeah. That's it.
Yes.
And it works.
Yes.
And then being committed to being great in what you do.
Yes, absolutely.
Give me a hug, man.
You're awesome.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.